Welcome to Oswald. This Return to Oswald, Episode 3. I'm Derek, and as always, I'm joined by my ace boons. That's Michael, a.k.a. Scar, and Brandon. Gentlemen, how are y'all doing today?
I'm good, man. How y'all?
Wonderful.
Good, good, good. So this episode was called God's Chillin'. It is Episode 3 of Season 1 of the HBO show Oz. Every week, what we do is we go through the iconic show Oz episode by episode, because Brandon ain't never seen this shit before, and so we are halfway living vicariously through his horror, but also discussing this show in a way that it needed to be discussed. I mean, every episode that happens, every episode that comes on, something big happens, or somebody who is now somebody who is known and acting pops up, and you're just like, yo, okay, this is okay, okay, that's dope. So this episode, Brandon, was called God's Chilling. God's Chilling. Let me go ahead and say it like that before people think that it's a spinoff on the words God's Children by Black folks. It's God's Chilling. Oh, that's hard to say. Brandon, what were your thoughts on this episode overall?
I thought that this episode started to move the plot along in the story. And kind of open it up to some other different things that's happening. I already didn't like the governor, and then I hated him more.
I told you when that nigga showed up, you was gonna be like, fuck this nigga.
I didn't like him for the first time I saw him on TV, but now I don't like him even more.
he was pre-Giuliani. Like, he is Giuliani.
Oh no, like, he's worse than Giuliani. And that's saying something. He's bad.
You know, I didn't realize until I looked him up. I forgot that he played in True Blood also.
He talked about that in the last episode, I think. That he was a dick in that one too.
Yeah, and then I was just looking at other stuff, and I was like, almost everything that I've seen that he played in, he's been an asshole.
He was terrible. And he was blowing. It also is like a sign of the times, because like I forget, like people used to smoke indoors, and like you watch TV shows from like the late 90s, and it's like, oh, people used to smoke indoors. Like that was the thing.
Just in general, of people smoking is weird now.
Yeah.
Like, cause like, you know, somebody would be like, man, I need a cigarette for work, for real. Yeah.
Why, you old school? Sorry.
He was blowing smoke in that man's face. And that made me like the dude McManus better, even though y'all don't like him.
Oh, he man, stood up gonna, to we gonna get to that nigga in a little bit.
He stood up to the shitty governor, and I respect that.
I love how McManus does the whole he like is quick to pull a this my shit, like y'all approve for me to do my shit right now. Let me run my shit. Like, y'all can do what y'all want to do outside of M City, but this my shit right here. I like that little portion of him. Another thing that before you go, Rashani, I want to say this about the show so far. I love how Brandon is always like, why did y'all make me watch this show that I low-key love now?
Admit it, Brandon, you're a lifer already.
No. I knew the show was good. I just was not into seeing all the negativity, and I have not been proven wrong yet. Each episode is terribleness. Can I get like the special, like in real TV shows?
You want the Christmas special, don't you?
No, on the sitcoms, they'll have a very special episode, and they'll be sad the whole time. Do they have a very special episode of Oz where it's happy?
No. What? No.
Absolutely not.
In prison? There's no happiness in prison.
It could be an episode where they have a basketball tournament or something.
This ain't The Wire. This ain't The Wire, fam.
I need something.
This is where Sergey went to after he got arrested in The Wire. This is where niggas end up at when they fuck up on The Wire. This ain't The Wire. There ain't no very special. There ain't no happy shit.
Oh, that definitely happens the next episode. Because like I said, I'll watch an episode and then like I was making wax melts, of course, because I had to replenish the fucking red pineapple.
Why'd you have to replenish the red pineapple, fam?
because of the popularity of Red Pineapple, I had to go out and buy new kits because I can only get that fragrance oil in a kit with two other fragrance oils. So I bought two kits and I made two sets to replenish because that one is the most popular one right now, which is, I mean, it's cool, but like I had to make a bunch of them yesterday. So I was in the middle of, I was watching the episode and then I had wax all over my hands. So like, I couldn't really like go to it and just be like, go to, you know, stop. So I watched about half of the next episode already.
So this episode pops off with, quite honestly, for the first three episodes, Augustus, the dude in the wheelchair, starts off with some sort of a monologue. And I think this one might've been his best one yet. As far as what he is conveying to the audience.
In the beginning, God was nothing. So he started making stuff. He made the dirt, he made the sky, he made the water, he made things that swim, things that slither, things with legs. I mean, God turned himself into a big shot. Then a couple of days or a couple of million years, he breathed life into man. And he's been sucking the life out of us ever since.
I just found that powerful, like from a standpoint of somebody who is a Christian and does believe in God. It's like, okay, yeah, before God created anybody, what was he? Like, he was just bored? Like, what exactly was that? Like, it just puts a lot of thought to things that you don't want to think about. And this episode does have quite a more of a religious background to it, not just with Catholicism, but also with the Muslims and things of that nature. So the episode's synopsis on IMDb is, friction is growing in the wake of two deaths. So Saeed, wise guy leader Shabetta, and gangbanger, I love that.
Right.
Gangbanger Jefferson King are brought together by Warden Glenn, who tells them to keep their boys quiet or else they'll lock the prison down. One thing that I noticed through the extent of this episode is that the gangbangers aren't really a group. They're not really a gang. It's like three people.
No, right? This is a friendly synopsis. It's not gangbangers. It's the niggers.
It's the niggers.
Basically, yeah.
It's the niggers and it's the whites. Because he walked over at one point and said, "How's the white race doing?" It's the white race. It's the niggers, and then it's the Latins.
And then it's the white race, it's the Latins, it's the niggas, and then it's the religious niggas to hear to hear Schillinger say it like them niggas said that Jesus is black.
Yo, that was hilarious. Like and like when he gets corrected, he's just like,
How dare you
clean my boots
but
with your tongue, like, oh. And he did that shit too, like I was like, yo dog,
so
I would take that ass whooping, like, so I'm not licking your boots.
So to start off, these niggas, it's more than three of them when they do this part, but it's in the main hall, so I guess, you know, in Oz there's like three to four people, but these fools really had a memorial for punk ass Johnny Post in the lunchroom, and had a picture of him where he's holding a Megatron sized blammer. They had a gangbanger memorial, and as everybody walked past his picture or whatever, they all threw up a different sign. So there's like 20 signs being thrown up.
Do you know how many t-shirts they could have sold if they were actually could sell t-shirts in prison? They would sell all the t-shirts.
And Jefferson walks up and he's looking all Leon-ish. And he looks at Johnny's picture.
This nigga is maximum Leon this episode.
So Leon, like in deep Leon. But while he's walking up, did y'all notice that there's like a 12-year-old kid right behind Leon? Like, I didn't know who that little kid was and how he got to prison. I needed a story on that little bastard, because they showed him and he looked like he was about maybe 14
times. Didn't they talk about him? And didn't Saeed talk about him?
No, that's another little nigga that shows up.
The little nigga from The Wire?
The little nigga who shows up in The Wire, yeah, that's a different dude. But the one who shows up in the during the memorial is just a little ass kid. Like, they don't talk about him. They don't mention him. They don't reference him, anything. He's just kind of there. So then they're talking. Adebisi is like, yo, we need to ride on these motherfuckers. Do we know who killed Johnny? And, well, actually, Adebisi's like, the Italians killed Johnny. They used a slur for Italians, but the Italians killed Johnny. Do we know who set him up? And Jefferson's like, yeah.
Did they use the wet ass pussies, or did they use something else?
Yeah, they did. So Jefferson's like, yeah, I know who did it. And right as he's saying it, O'Reilly's just walking around, and everybody in the whole building knows O'Reilly's a rat. I just want to get this off my chest.
He is not a rat. He is the snakiest of snakes. He is a snake.
No. Let's not give this nigga the credit that he don't deserve. He is Randall from Recess. Like, he...
Recess. That's not my jam.
He has never been anything more than an upper level snitch. He's looking out for himself. He has no allies but himself. That nigga's Randall. He keeps running back to the old...
That makes him a snake.
Snake to you is a snitch to somebody else.
No, that's the opposite. He's an ally and an enemy of everybody.
That's a snake.
Yeah, he'll partner with the niggas when he has to, and then he'll call them niggas, and how about how terrible they are to the white race. Then he'll get behind the white race, and then he'll go to the Italians and be like, yo, I know who killed him. After he just killed one of them. He just helped kill one of them. He's an enemy and a friend to everybody.
Yeah, y'all right.
Aries. He's Aries, the god of war. He just wants chaos.
Now, he's
very much Loki. And in this context, and the way this show works, mm-hmm. he's Loki.
So as they show him walking around, talking to everybody, they also show Rebido talking to Groves, and Rebido's like, yeah, you hear about Johnny Post? He died in a cell with his dick in his mouth. They cut off his dick and put it in his mouth. And Groves is like, how'd you know? And Rebido's like, God told me. And I'm like, damn, God told you with that kind of detail? Like, hey, Rebido, check this out, man. Check this out. See that nigga right there? He cut this dude's dick off, shoved it in his mouth. Yeah, he did that. Got it all up in the cheekbone. Just, good night.
I want to know what he did to get in jail.
And as he walks away, they go on about their business, and nobody sees Groves lighting up. Like, do they not see all these matches and lighters in this building? But they don't see Groves tattooing mom on the back of his hand in the middle of the day room, which is just like, he didn't scream. No, nothing. Just
that dude is. Is there any word that can describe him other than
psychopathic?
It's other than creepy. Like, he is so creepy.
We prefer psychopathic. Yes.
Okay. Psychopathic.
Yeah, that creepy. Dude is a straight up like upper level psychopath. And then, so the Italians are just gloating at the point where they go into Keane's cell and leave behind a box, an unmarked box, which Keen and whatever the dude who's with him, I don't know who the light-skinned dude's name is. They never actually really say what his name is. It's Adebisi, and it's Keen, Jefferson Keen, and then it's this other dude. And the other dude and Keen walk into Jefferson's cell where they see a box that looks like takeout from like the old spaghetti factory or Italian or an Italian restaurant. And this happens. Oh, before I do this, I just want y'all to marvel at Leon's acting skills. This is possibly the most animated that Leon has ever been in his entire career, other than Ain't Nobody Checking For You, Otis.
I want to say something before you play this. The other dude, the light-skinned dude, I don't even know his name, but I always refer to him as Say Man. Because he always seems like the dude that'll come up to you and be like, Say Man. And then it's like, say some bullshit. Like, he always seems like that dude. So I always call him Say Man. Say Man he's always around, but like he's never been a star of this. He's just always someone that's around.
Exactly. So Say Man, that works. So Say Man and Jefferson walk up in there and they see a box and Leon goes for an Oscar.
What's that? Probably some cannoli, some shit. Cannoli. Oh, God damn!
What?
Motherfucker, Johnny's dick! Shit! Oh, fuck! God damn! What the fuck is...
There's some... And they're like, oh.
The look on his face, he is so pained by this. Like this, it looked like it hurt, like somebody hit him. Like, I tell you, he is maximum Leon.
Leon, we need you to dig deep for this episode, okay? We need you to dig deep for this scene because in this scene, you're going to find Johnny's dick. Oh, shit. Oh, no. Oh, God. Dick face, no. That's pretty much
how I that mean, scene that went. That's a proper reaction.
It is. I ain't sure gonna lie.
I would have reacted quite similar.
But at the same time, the shit is funny to see.
My problem is this: they said that they cut his dick off, and like no one knew where his dick was. Like they didn't. I mean, obviously they didn't leave it, but like so. They just took a dick with them and like no one actually went searching for a dick.
I just find it funny in this day and age that somebody
No. What happened? Oh, my bad. I didn't
No, go ahead, Randy.
What happened was it's fucked up cops. So, you know, they gotta end with the cops. That's what the FBI people were saying. So I'm pretty sure they just gave the Italian people his dick so that he could terrorize the niggas.
I just found it funny that in this episode, I mean, this is way before its time and all, but there's literally a dick in a box. Like, take a look inside. It's a dick in a box. It's in a box.
Yo, about a month or so ago, one of my coworkers said that her boyfriend was giving her a present. And I said, it's a dick in the box. And she had no idea what I was talking about. So I introduced her to Dick in the Box. And it was like,
wait, you introduced her to the song, right? Because otherwise, that's probably harassment.
Okay. The song. Okay. Of course, I know there ain't nothing at work I want to fuck.
So after these niggas discover the dick in the box, it's my dick in a box. Then Jefferson's going through some changes this episode. I think that it's important to say that no matter what's going on the outside with Johnny and the Italians and whatever else, Jefferson's going through some changes inside of himself that is borderline wanting to make a life change. And one of the things that he does when he is in the midst of this cathartic, maybe I'm a change, maybe I'm not, is he lights his mattress on fire, which, you know, wouldn't be a big thing except for the what?
At first I thought he was lighting the dick on fire to get rid of it.
No, he probably just, you know, flushed that down the toilet. Because there's no trash can in the cell, is there? Like, I don't know how that works. Did they flush the dick down the toilet? Did they tell? Like, where'd they get the takeout box?
Rashani and Scar, I need you to explain this to me because I did not understand why he was burning the mattress. I was so confused.
Because he just wanted to feel something, brother.
Basically.
The spark was gone from his life and he just wanted to feel the fire in his soul again.
This is pre-mental health being an issue for Black men.
Yes. So, but I want to point out while he's setting that mattress on fire, his celly gets the award for the best one line that they're never seen again in a show award for Oz ever. That nigga was like, fire! Fire!
Show me this nigga crazy fire. I went straight to Eddie Murphy. Now that's a fire.
That nigga said fire the way Bone Crusher said attention. Attention, there's a fire. Fire. He said that like he was in a gospel, like he sang in the gospel choir. Fire in my soul. Fire in my heart. Oh, so after he sets the fire to his mattress, which just completely mystified McManus. McManus is like, yo, why'd you even do that?
It's like, now I gotta send you to the hole. Why the fuck should I have to do this?
And Keen is like, I just wanted some alone time. Can I get some me time? Well, you just ran your celly off, so.
Maximum Leon, because only Leon can deliver that line.
I just wanted some alone time. And McManus is like, I wish you'd trust me, buddy. Why don't you like me?
That Leon is so bad at acting.
He is so bad. It's great. Like, why is this so good?
Because he has no emotion. I can't. Like, I've watched this and I'm just like, what are you doing?
He's trying to get some alone.
No, I'm gonna tell you. Like, he showed his acting range like a motherfucker when he called Mavis.
Wait, we ain't got there yet.
Okay.
So McManus sends King to the hole, which is what King was requesting, basically. But when he gets to the hole, Healy is there to beat the shit out of him. And he beats the shit out of him. And then after he gets done beating the shit out of him, he's like, if you tell anybody anything about O'Reilly, I'm gonna kill you. And at first, I thought that he was threatening him on behalf of O'Reilly, but the more I think about it, Healy is threatening him on behalf of himself because he knows that if O'Reilly goes to the warden in trouble for killing Ortolani or getting Ortolani set up, O'Reilly is going to immediately turn and say, you know what? I'll turn state's evidence. I know a gang of COs have been doing some dirty ass shit.
Snake ass nigga, bro.
Exactly.
Snake ass nigga.
So Ryan O'Reilly was convicted on 7/12/97 of vehicular manslaughter, 5 counts of reckless endangerment, possession of a controlled substance, criminal possession of a weapon, and parole violation. He got life in prison. He's up for parole in 12 years.
Why did he get... Oh, he killed somebody when he was driving crazy. Okay.
So...
I was like, why did he get life in prison? I thought he was just stole a car.
Not a vehicular manslaughter part.
Yeah, I missed that part. Okay.
And plus, it was a parole violation.
Damn, they putting white people in prison for life for parole violations?
Yeah, if you kill somebody while you're doing it.
I guess that's true.
I mean, even if he lived in a place with a 3-strike rule, that's all 3 strikes in one go, right?
There, man, bro. Like, nigga, you took no time doing this one. You're the best. So Beecher's coming back upstairs. Schillinger just got on his towel. Schillinger tells Beecher, get undressed. We're taking a shower. Beecher's like, I already took a shower. And Schillinger's like, well, after I get done with you, you're gonna need another one. Oh, nigga, like, what?
He's so jolly when he's being a racist, like,
yes,
person. He's just so jolly about it. He's like, oh, go take a shower, take your clothes off, we'll have some fun. No, it's like clothes. He's sinister without being sinister.
He's Trump. Like Trump is not like, you know, like sinister, but like when he talks, it doesn't seem as sinister the way he's saying it as it really is. But that is exactly who the type of person that he is.
That's a good point.
I can see that. Yeah. So there's a sequence that happens after that that I thought was really, really good. And it is where Sister Peter Marie and Beecher are walking back from the kitchen and they have a conversation. And Sister Peter Marie, devout Catholic, also, you know, the counselor for all of the inmates. She's like the, mental health specialist / counselor. And they're walking back from the kitchen, and this conversation happens.
So my assistant got paroled. See, that's what's wrong with this place. You finally break in an assistant. He learns your rhythms. He's good at the job. And then, boom, the parole board decides that he's ready to rejoin society. Meanwhile, I am left with a stack of untyped psychiatric reports.
Sister, I'm glad you thought of me for this job. I really wasn't suited for factory work.
Listen, when I heard you knew Word and Lotus, I knelt down and praised Jesus.
I'm lucky he heard you. He hasn't been listening to me.
Oh, yes, he does. He listens.
No, he doesn't. Since I got to Oz, I've prayed more than the night before my bar exam, more than the day my son fell off his skateboard. Either God's hearing has gotten bad or he's ignoring me.
No, listen, first of all, quantity of prayer doesn't mean anything. And secondly, maybe he has answered you, only it's not what you expect.
God Almighty, creator of all things, including the loophole.
There's your desk, such as it is. Tobias, what do you ask for when you pray?
To get out of here.
Oh, you don't need God for that. You just need a good lawyer.
I spent my life dealing with the law, finding ways over, under, around it. And then when I needed it to be there for me, the system snapped back into my face. I was a good lawyer. I was. I was a lot of things. A husband, father, son, brother, friend. And then I made a mistake. One huge, huge mistake, but one mistake. And as a result, God took everything.
Listen, maybe he stripped you of the superficial sense of yourself. You know, doctor, lawyer, Indian chief. So that you could find the real you through him.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I've been trying to do, but God isn't in Oz.
Oh, yeah, he is. He is everywhere. He is in you right now, Tobias.
Genevieve is divorcing me. I think she decided when she saw the swastika on my butt. She's gonna take the kids and go live with her parents. If God is in me, he's a tumor.
We were wondering which point it was gonna get to where it was gonna become official, because we already knew in episode one that Genevieve was gonna divorce him, but he thinks that it's because she saw the swastika on his butt. Which is what Brandon said, or was it Scar? Which one of y'all said?
No,
yeah. Oh man, but I mean, how do you find God in prison? Like, when you're getting treated the way Beecher gets treated, when you're getting just completely harassed and ignored and beaten and downtrodden, where can you, I mean, that's a hard place to try and find a religion at.
The only way to find God in, excuse me, the only way to find God in prison is through becoming a 5%er.
Self.
Yeah, but you know what's interesting? I'm sure somebody's done this. Maybe I'll Google it when I feel like it. But there has to be something about the religion of Islam that's particularly appealing to black men in prison, because it's not. Sometimes they find like Christianity, but a lot of people find Islam there.
5%ers.
And there's, it's got to be a reason. It's got to be a reason why.
All the 5%ers that I know of, that I've ever known in my lifetime, they became a 5%er in prison.
There's got to be a reason.
Yeah.
I'd be interested to see. Because you know what's funny? You brought that, just bringing that up. My wife, for some reason, has been watching A Different World. And there was one episode where one of the dudes went to Washington, D.C. He was supposed to go to the Smithsonian, and he came back, and he had found Islam. He had the whole hat on and the bow tie, and he was talking to his daddy about what he found and everything, and it was just like over a weekend like that. And you think it's like a TV show, but like I know people that it happens like that. And I was like, what is it about that gets you like that? I'm just curious.
I don't know. If there is an answer, it would be, you know, interesting to find out. That's the only thing I can really say. Because most of the people I know that went through this process, they all became 5%ers, and you know, 5%ers go way left field when you try to have a conversation. Way out there. Never ask a 5%er about money. That is a 2-hour conversation about how evil money is, and they will actually show you the evil parts of money.
Is it the middle?
No, it's a lot of it. It's a lot of it, but it starts with that pyramid. It starts with the pyramid, because they'd be like, you know, like, this is In God We Trust. Why is there a pyramid here? And, you know, like, that's pagan. And also, it says In God We Trust, but there's an I. As far as we know, God has no physical representation in our world. So whose I is that?
So,
you know, like that type of thing. Like, like I said, I got caught up one day. My car was messed up. One of my coworkers brought me home, and I paid him for giving me a ride. And that conversation after was one of the worst experiences of my life.
Yeah, that's unfair. If you're stuck in a car with somebody and you're forced to have to hear that conversation, that's fucked up.
No. He actually like came inside because he wanted to go to the bathroom.
Yeah,
we got there.
You gotta go. You gotta go. You gotta go, fam. Like, nah. So, next thing that happens is the part where they're talking about Jesus being black, and Beecher is the one who's saying, "Nah, Jesus is black because he was said to have olive skin and he was from Judea." And Schillinger's like, "Oh yeah, well, lick my boots, like polish my boots with your tongue." So that happened.
He says polish my boots. And then when he starts to get down to go do it, he says with your tongue. And then like the thing about it is everybody behind him all get up to see if he's actually gonna fucking do it. It's like that has to be like the worst feeling, like the feeling of having to do it, one, but like the other feeling of knowing that all of these people are like tuned in because you are the entertainment for that day.
That's a weird flex too, to clean your boots. Also, why are they allowed to wear boots in prison?
Dude, didn't you see the guy next, right after that? Well, a little bit after that, didn't you see the guy next to Rosa wearing the full-on jean jacket fit? Old black dude wearing like a full-on jean jacket fit, standing there looking out of place like he was like a fucking fluffer or something. Like,
yeah, because we asked previously, where the fuck does Reba don't get those sweaters from?
Yeah, some of these folks just get clothes sent from home, and I guess in odds, if you act good, you can wear whatever you want, because at a BC and that hat.
But to this day, no one has an answer for how the fuck that hat stays on.
Velcro. So Groves pops up with next to Father Ray, who's, you know, the Catholic priest. He pops up with Father Ray, and because throughout the show, Father Ray is taking confessions from people. He takes one from O'Reilly, who tells this horrible joke that I'm not even going to replay because it wasn't funny, about how he, well, it wasn't even a joke. I'll tell you what happened. His celly was fiending for a cigarette, and O'Reilly was like, "I don't have a cigarette." And so the father was like, "So you lied to him?" And he was like, "Nah, he needs to kick the habit." And the father was like, "So you're being altruistic?" And O'Reilly was like, "Yeah, whatever." And the father was like, "Well, then you have nothing to confess." And O'Reilly was like, "I know. I just wanted to come in here and have a cigarette." So later on, they show Groves going in there to talk to Father Ray. And Ray is like, "Yo, you're not even Catholic." And Groves is like, "Yeah, I know. But they got me in solitary confinement. And the CO asked me if I could get 10 minutes to get out and talk to you. So I took it." And Ray is like, "Yeah, that's not how Catholicism works." And Groves is like, "Well, this is a really interesting religion you got here. Like, y'all believe in this form of religion where, you know, God's body is broken up and handed out amongst his disciples so they could eat it and they drank his blood. Like, why wouldn't I, a cannibal, want to get down with something like that? And the look on Ray's face was just...
The look on Ray's face was like right before Uncle Phil throws Jazz out the fucking door.
So then after that, Kenny Wangler shows up. He's 16 years old. He was tried as an adult for murder in the first degree. He was sentenced to 20 years, but he's up for parole in 6. And this is my nigga Bodie.
Right?
Bodie was 19 when he took the role of a 16-year-old and looks 16.
Yes, very much so.
He did look 16.
But when the nigga played Bodie in Oz, he was 24 playing a 15-year-old and pulled that shit off too. That nigga's a straight-up baby
you
face.
You said in Oz. You mean The Wire?
In The Wire. Sorry. Yes, The Wire.
That's another thing that reminds me. See, I got a lot of different world references because my wife's been playing it nonstop. I was watching Different World, and I hadn't watched it in a long time. And I'm like, okay, this is 1991. And I'm like, Jasmine Guy is 31 years old. She's playing a freshman, a sophomore in college. This is so weird. Because I'm looking at it, I'm like, she's not unattractive or old looking, but she definitely don't look like no freshman in college. None of them niggas look like freshmen.
It's the 90210 thing. I think it's the 90210 thing where it's just like, these are definitely not teenagers. And also, every teenage show on Netflix, they all look like grown ass.
It's Stranger Things. They actually look like kids.
Never seen Stranger Things.
They look like kids. But yeah, you're absolutely right. Because when I saw him, I was like, oh yeah, he looked like he's 16 at this time. That's exactly how a 16-year-old person would probably look and act in that way. And I was like, it's fucked up that they put him in there with these people.
They put him in there with Adebisi, who immediately takes him under his wing and introduces him to Jefferson. And he's like, yo, he wants to be with the brothers. And Jefferson is still going through his changes. So he doesn't say anything to him. And Wangler walks back out. Kenny walks back out right into the arms of Saeed. And Saeed is like, hey, young brother. Or he walks down to Saeed and starts shaking his hand like, hey, I just want to thank you. I just want to say I saw you on TV and you were on TV. And the words you said when you was on TV, the words came out of your mouth and I heard them and they were dope because they came out of your mouth and you're Saeed. And oh my God.
Yeah, he referenced shit that he actually said. He just said, when you said the things that you said them.
And so Saeed is like, hey, young brother, the words that come out of my mouth, you've already heard them. And now you got them here in your heart. So follow me and we can make you into a man. And so Wangler, like if this was literally a montage of the most boring shit, like this is the most boring montage I've ever seen in my life. You know what? That is so disrespectful to the Muslim faith. But Wangler just looked so disinterested in everything they were doing. Like he was holding the beads were on the table. He was sitting there listening to him talking Arabic. And it's literally like he's a 16-year-old kid who they want to dive into this religion that he has no interest in. Like he's just trying to find a group. So he dips out of there and he goes and he starts rolling with the brothers and getting high. But while Wangler is rolling with Saeed, Jefferson is looking at him, looking like a spurned woman watching a guy walk around or watching a woman walk around with her ex-boyfriend. Like you just see him in the background looking hella mad. Like
he's looking over the side like, hello.
That's me in the corner. So
there's a part in this episode that I know I should not have laughed at. We'll get to it. But I know I should not have, like what you just said. I know I should not have laughed at it. I know it's not appropriate that I laughed, but I laughed so fucking hard at that scene. And I think y'all know what I'm talking about towards the end of the show. I laughed so fucking hard and I could not, I know it's not right. But I had to preface that before we get there so people don't cancel me.
Was it the Wolverine moment?
No, it was when they were...
Was it the Superman Returns moment?
I have no idea what either one of those
are. I don't know those references. It's when they were praying.
So Jefferson walks into earlier, Jefferson's gotten on the phone to talk to Mavis. And Mavis is talking sexy to him, and he's got his hand in his pants. He's jacking off, whatever it may be. And Saeed is standing right behind him.
Buzzkill. He just, and he don't say shit. He just looks at him like a disapproving father. Like,
and Saeed and Jefferson stops and leaves. Later on, Jefferson's in the room smoking or snorting heroin. I guess that's what's in those little jars to look like something futuristic, but probably aren't. How the fuck they get the heroin in there?
First, that's what like I wanted to know.
A salt shaker.
I had the same question.
But
ass sniffer.
They're in there. From life. It's Keen, Sayman, and Wangler, and they're all snorting heroin. And Saeed comes in, and he's like, "Look, brother, this brother right here is only 16. When he gets out, he can still be 22. You can give him a chance, brother." And Sayman is looking at Saeed like, "Man, get the fuck out of here. We're just trying to get high."
Saeed, my man.
And Keen is like, "Hey, Wangler, get up out of here, man.
I am Mr. Positivity. I am pro Saeed. 3 episodes in, I got not a bad thing to say about him. He's always positive. He's trying to get these niggas in shape. You know, he's got his respectability politics going, which I support in this particular situation because some of these niggas is trash and they need a little bit of respectability. So I like them, getting them nipped up. I don't like the homophobia. I can skip past that. But even with the homophobia.
Before y'all get to the homophobia part, let's talk about what happens next, which is that after Wangler leaves out, Keen looks like he's about to raise up and finally start getting on Saeed about, you know, trying to run his group or whatever it may be. And Saeed is like, "Hey, man, that young man needs saving." And he starts walking out, and Keen is like, "No, I need saving."
Maximum Leon.
And Saeed comes over and hugs him. And while he's hugging him, literally in the same move where he's hugging him, he takes his koofy off his head and puts his koofy on Jefferson. And Jefferson immediately, like out of no fucking where, immediately starts telling other niggas how to live their lives. Like his brother gets
hurt. You know this dude yeah, that goes into prison, becomes a 5%er, and comes back out talking about how y'all motherfuckers shouldn't eat pork no more. Like, this is the same nigga.
And immediately, right after this happens, he sees his brother who just got out the hospital and is finally back in Gen Pop. He's living in row 3 with the other homosexual inmates. And he sees his brother, Billy, his brother, sees Jefferson for the first time since he's been out of the hospital. And so he goes in for a hug and he's like, "Hey, man, how you doing?" And Jefferson's like, "You can't be gay no more."
He said it just like that.
Billy said, "I don't want to stop being gay. I like being gay because, again, understanding of LGBTQ back then was pretty fucked up. But I like being gay. I'm not going to stop being gay." "Well, then I'm going to beat your ass. I'm going to beat the gay out of you because you can't be gay no more." "Why can't I be gay no more?" "Because I can't tell you, but there's something different inside of me, and it's got to be different inside of you too. So either you stop being gay or I ain't fuck with you no more, and I'm going to beat you up." "You can't do that to me. Fuck you." And Billy walks off, and Keen is about to throttle that nigga when Saeed comes up to him, and he's like, "Yo, I pull him to the side," and starts telling him that's not how you change people. And I just want to point out that that's literally, Saeed is like, "Hey, you got to lead through example. You can't lead through trying to beat everybody's ass." And Jefferson's like, "But where I grew up, we led with our fists." And that sequence is how people interpret religion in a 2-minute act. Like, niggas get one drop of religion and we immediately start telling other people how to live their life, while the person who gave you the drop of religion is like, "But wait, that's not what I meant."
Right?
Yeah, exactly. By the way, this scene was completely fascinating to me for a myriad of reasons. One, I was led to believe, am I led to believe that before Saeed came into his Leon's life, he was cool with his brother being gay, and now yes. he's anti his brother being gay.
I mean, that led to him being cool with his brother being gay is what led him to get Dino whacked.
Oh, okay. So I take that back by side. He fucked
because Dino beat up his brother for being gay.
And then Rashani was doing the PG-13 version of the conversation. He was using the F word gay slur the entire time talking to his brother. Saeed comes out and talks to him and doesn't use the slur. He doesn't even say gay. He says homosexuality. He's like talking so proper about it. And he's like, no, you don't have to act like that. And I was just completely fascinated by like 1997, like gay black conversation in this TV show was fascinating to me. Just all the different angles of like, okay, this gangbanger was relatively okay. Now he's not okay. But as soon as he's not okay, he goes from being okay with it to being like a raging maniac homophobe to his own brother, like immediately.
Because he's just like, this is the way. And like,
it's
like,
exactly.
No, brother, this is not the way.
That nigga walked out of that conversation like, I got the joy down in my heart.
It wasn't even like, I've been talking to Saeed, man, and, maybe you need to rethink this. Not that that's okay, but it wasn't even like, maybe you should rethink, this being gay thing. I don't think it's the right thing to do. It was like 0 to 1,000.
Real quick. He went from like, my brother's gay and that's cool. I'll deal with it when someone tries to fuck with him, to, nigga, I'll kill you for being gay. Like, whoa, yes. Slow down. Like,
which in all honesty, I mean, it's fucked up, but in all honesty, that's why Dino beat up his brother. So now that you're on the same page as Dino, you can't be mad anymore because you're on the same page as Dino. So is a Uchiha Wally is a one mic? Like, which one are we going to do here? And then Saeed pulled him and was like, yo, you can't do that. Which, thank you, Saeed. But then Jefferson decided to carry his religious conversion over to the brothers. And Adebisi was like,
yo, Kenny, I see that drug counseling doing you a whole hell of a lot of good.
Oh, man, fuck that drug counseling, man. Fuck it.
What are you doing here?
Yo, Jefferson, what's up, man?
Brothers, my name is now T.Z. Ozu.
T what?
Step up, brother, T.Z. Step up. I'm done with that.
The fuck's the matter with you?
Simon. We've been doing it all wrong, brother. The whole package. This is not the way.
I told you. Saeed's been fucking with his head.
We gotta cut out all this hatred. We need to learn to love one another, embrace one another. The only person we need to be fearing is God.
Motherfucker, shut the fuck up with that shit. Are you still with us? Are you still a brother?
I am your brother. We all got.
I said cut that shit, nigga. You know what I mean? Is you still a brother?
Like this? Doing this? No.
Get the fuck away from me.
Assalamu alaikum. Your homeboy getting soft, man.
Yo, I ain't gonna lie. When Adebisi flipped, I jumped. Like, I ain't gonna lie. I jumped. Like, whoa. All right, dog. My bad. Like, let me go over here. I'm gonna leave. You come down.
What did he say his Muslim name was?
T.Z. Ozuzuwa.
And I think this is the first time anyone has called Adebisi Simon.
Right.
Like, I didn't even realize that his name was Simon.
How fucking patronizing is that? Simon. Buddy. Look, the only person we need to fear right now is God. Who the fuck you talking to? Who the fuck you calling? You using my real name in front of this kid? Fuck right. You.
And they're like, if we talk about the hat on Adebisi's head, we never talked about the half-worn socks.
Adebisi is literally the next to Schillinger. Adebisi is the most captivating, fascinating person on this show to me, like every time he steps up. And you know what? I never noticed that about the socks either.
Oh, look at that shit. And he's got the moccasins on.
But the nigga look real comfy. So look Jefferson
at the hat, everything.
And he has his socks pulled down.
How's his hat staying like that with a bald head?
No one fucking knows.
So the next thing that we see is Jefferson being like, I just want to say real quick, Leon, I like you. And if you ever listen to the show, what's up, man? Holla. You playing a Muslim Leon, not playing Keen as a Muslim, but playing Muslim Leon.
Yeah. I told you, Maximum Leon, this whole
episode. It's just really annoying. Like, really annoying. Nah. So then this nigga Muslims his way down the walkway and goes to O'Reilly. And he tells O'Reilly that he won't tell about him setting up Ortolani or getting Johnny Post killed if O'Reilly recognizes his sins and turns to God. O'Reilly's response was straight up, nigga, you're high. You are high. And then his second response to go straight to Shabetta.
You know, his response was, nigga, I'm a snake. Do you expect me not to snake?
And so he immediately goes to Shabetta and snitches on Jefferson and offers to set up the hit on Jefferson, which Shabetta was like, yeah, go for it. And Shabetta's right hand was like, yo, why are you letting him do so much stuff? And Shabetta was like, quite simply, Shabetta said, if he wants to get his hands dirty, let him get his hands dirty. Plus, hopefully the niggers will take him out next.
Yeah, so it's a you can do this, you're not using my people.
And that's how you play chess instead of checkers. Like, yo, I'm going to set up this, and then this is going to happen, and O'Reilly's going to get killed by black people. So,
Shabetta had to know something was weird, because, like, he's the same nigga that told you about the other dude. Now he's coming about this dude.
He knows.
He knew, because he said something when he was talking to the other dude, when he was talking to Guido.
Now the niggas are killing.
No. In the previous episode, after he talked to O'Reilly, and he basically said, I think you know more than what you're saying, but I'll let this shit ride. Like, he already showed his hand on that. Like, he knows more than what he's actually said to O'Reilly, but he's just letting this shit ride. Let this play out for whatever it is. You give me the motherfucker that actually did it, then I'll deal with that. I'm not gonna worry about the rest. I just want that piece of my retribution. I'll let the rest of it play out as it is. Like, it's very much chess.
So then after O'Reilly goes and talks with Shabetta, he goes back and talks to Healy, and Healy sets it up where the cops come to the lunchroom and picks up Jefferson and lead him into the gym. Where two Latino guys,
it's not obvious that something wrong is getting ready to occur. What reason did you have to go get this?
But
dude?
What are the inmates gonna do? Stand up and fight the cops?
No, but like not just the cops, but like the people in charge of the cops. Like, wait, why did you go get him? Like, no one ever asked that question. Why the fuck did you go get him from the lunchroom?
And so they led him into the gym where two Latino guys are there to kill him. Jefferson says he doesn't want to fight them, but they keep trying to beat him up. So he immediately beats both of their asses, including breaking one of their necks, Martinez.
No, that's the Superman. I said Superman Returns, but what is the Superman with Zod? The modern Superman with Zod.
I didn't watch Superman. Man of Steel?
Man of Steel. Man of Steel. Because at the end, he snaps Zod's neck and he goes, ah!
Like, and so, yeah, for some reason, the cops got it all on camera. I don't know why they recorded this like it was fucking fight night. But Jeff, they say, he killed Martinez. And when King sees them, because he looks up, they're looking through the fucking gym window at him. He looks up at them and then he starts screaming hella loud. Ah!
That was so weird. This scene, he was so terrible. In this scene, he's supposed to be this newly reborn religious man, and he doesn't understand why he's been put in this situation, but he's going to fight his way out of it. And I'm like, okay, you said you're not going to kill anybody. You didn't have to kill him. You had up his neck. That was not necessary. You did that because you wanted to. I don't feel bad for you after that shit. You got set up, yes, and you had to protect yourself, yes. But once you got the upper hand, it's like when you're beating somebody's ass, right? You're trying to fight to win. But at some point in that fight, once you got the upper hand, at some point it crosses the line from I'm trying to win the fight to I'm trying to kill this nigga. And you can, there's a line where you can stop. Like if you're in a street fight, you stomp the nigga's face in. At some point you're like, all right, he ain't getting up. I can stop. Or I can keep stomping until he dies. And this nigga had him in the chokehold. He had him in the million-dollar dream, like Ted DiBiase. And he could have just went right to sleep. But he had to twist his neck like
I just want to point this out. It can't be that easy to break somebody's neck. Can it? Like, I don't want to try it, but is it that easy to break somebody's neck? Like, did they do a Mythbusters about this? Because niggas is snapping necks like they're fucking turkey wishbones.
So I actually watched something on this. So you can snap people's necks like that, but it does. So someone who works out that's pretty strong can do it. Like it can be done, but just some regular ass Joe Smo is not going to just be able to snap somebody's neck.
And Jefferson Keane is not a strong looking motherfucker.
Okay. He looked strong in the weight room earlier.
It's the Ender Wiggin thing, and I know you could appreciate this reference.
Bone so,
but it's the if I'm in a fight, which seems like it's a fight for my life. So if I win this fight decisively, it's going to automatically decide future fights. So like I think that was what he was feeling in the moment. And it was also an extension of what he already said. Like when they had the conversation, the homosexuality conversation, he was like, you know, like this is who I am. Like, you know, this is how, you know, and I think in that moment he went back to what he knew, and what he knew was
snapping necks.
Yeah, I'm if I do this now, I'll never have to do it again because I'm gonna fuck somebody up so bad that no one would ever do this shit to me again. But then realize, oh, it's being video recorded, I'm fucked.
If this was an action movie, like if this was Die Hard or something like that, after he snapped his neck, he would have looked up at the police and saw the camera and been like, who's next?
Porn that self.
Yeah. So after the cops,
he played this shit all wrong.
Go
he
for
played
it.
This shit all wrong because I'd have just been like, I ain't do it. I didn't do that shit. And then the cops would have tried to prove it by why you got videotape.
Very true.
They would have had, and then at that point, I'm pretty sure they're not seasoned video editors.
Yeah, they're not going to be able to take themselves out. So the next thing that happens after Jefferson kills Martinez is that the governor shows up. And this is our first time seeing the governor in the facility, like face to face. And while most people are more than happy to just go ahead and let the governor, you know, be his loudmouth self, the one person who stands up and says, this shit ain't right, is fucking McManus, the white guy. And shit pissed me off, but I'm going to go ahead and let it play out real quick.
Governor is such an asshole. There is no other word to describe him. He is just such an asshole.
He's a smug son of a bitch. That's what he is. But at the same time, hold on. Let's go ahead and let this play, and then let's talk about this scene.
Always happy to see the governor and engage in a free-flowing exchange of ideas. And if you'll excuse us, governor.
What the fuck are you people doing? Do any of you have a fucking clue as to how to run this prison?
Governor, all these deaths are interrelated. We've got an all-out race war in the making. We're trying to contain the situation.
Well, you're not doing a very good job.
And you're not helping much.
What? Who are you?
Tim McManus. I run cell block 5.
Oh, yeah. Emerald City. Wave of the future.
You are creating a lot of the tension that we're dealing with around here.
And how am I doing that?
Well, you banned smoking, you banned conjugals. Bit by bit, you're stripping these men of their basic human needs.
This is a prison. These men are criminals. The whole point is to strip them of their basic human needs. Only knee-jerk liberal prisoners like you would see that. We wouldn't be having the problems we're having today.
The campaign's over, Governor. Get off your soapbox.
Tell him!
McManus, when you look at me, what do you see?
A man.
You heard of Olympus, right? Mount Olympus in ancient Greece, where the gods lived.
Yeah.
Well, there was a hierarchy, even among the gods. Mercury was lesser than Apollo, Apollo lesser than Zeus. You run your cell block and you think you're a god. Glenn runs a whole prison and he thinks he's a greater god. Well, guys, I am Zeus. I am omnipotent. I must be obeyed. Or my thunderbolts will strike.
You're not Zeus, you're a politician.
Man, hell's ass.
Take a walk, you're not helping.
Fine.
Thank you, Warden.
Devlin, tell me what you want.
One, I want the murderers to stop. Two, I want this Jefferson Keane to go on trial. I want him convicted, and I want him to die. He's gonna be the first one executed now that I've brought the death penalty back. Three, end the lockdown.
What?
Public hears the whole prison is locked down. They get tense. They think we've lost control.
The fact that we're in lockdown proves we're in control.
I'm not talking about what's real. I'm talking about John Q's perception.
And what if we have a riot? What'll John Q think then? What'll that do for your political career?
I wouldn't worry about me, Warden. I'm the one with the thunderbolts, remember?
See, so I got
a couple things.
Yeah, go for it, because I do too. Okay.
First of all, this nigga walks in, lights up a cigarette, put his feet on the motherfucker desk. Like, literally just put his fucking shoes up on this motherfucker desk and chills out like he ain't got a fucking care in the world. Then gets up, talking to another motherfucker, blowing smoke in his face the whole fucking time. Like, it was not even, and then afterwards, I guess he's not supposed to be a smoker, so he decides to use those drops for like a breath mint. Why the fuck did he put that shit all the way in his mouth to use it? Like, what the fuck what the fuck just happened? He like goes like that. Like, everybody put it, you know, you tip your hand up a little bit, you drop it on your tongue, call that shit a day. No, he put that shit all the way in his mouth in order to fucking use it. That was just weird. But like, he put his feet on a motherfucking desk, a nigga's desk. He put his feet on a nigga's desk in his office as the warden of a fucking prison. He put his feet, you put your feet on my motherfucking desk. Then
what you gonna do? He the boss. What the fuck you gonna do?
I don't give a fuck. Like, you don't put your feet on my fucking desk.
No, that's like if you in your bedroom, right? And you got a desk and you doing your homework, and your daddy come in there and he stretch out and put his feet up on your desk.
Or he just sits on your desk and puts his ass cheeks right where your sandwich is.
And your daddy's sitting right on your goddamn desk and you're going to sit right there.
No, me and dad are going to have a fucking conversation.
Like, no, yeah. Come on, y'all. Let's have this. Let's be real about this. And I just want to point this out as somebody who actually works for the state. The governor chooses who the fuck the wardens are.
Yes.
Of these facilities. The governor says who stays and who goes in these facilities. So that's what he's saying. Like, yeah, you might think you're something and you look up to Glenn as if Glenn is something, but I run Glenn. And that's why Glenn didn't say anything. And that's what pissed me off, was McManus's plucky ass white spirit that made him just want to jump up and get in this motherfucker's face. Like, yo, that's straight up white privilege that he doesn't think anything wrong about saying this stuff. Like, he was literally, be real, Brandon, the way he was talking to that motherfucker was straight up out of pocket. Would you talk to your boss like that?
While blowing smoke
you're doing that thing. See, if that was the black man saying that, y'all would have been like, look at him speaking truth to
power. No, I wouldn't. I would have been like, he's going to get fired. Like,
I'm not talking about the reaction. I'm talking about the action that he took. If it was somebody else taking that action, it'd be like, that's a noble action. Somebody looking out for the best interest of the prisoners, especially in 2020, the way we talk about prison. It would have been like, that dude is the right person. He's doing the right thing. Not look at him with his white privilege. It is white privilege, but that's what you got to use your white privilege for. How many times we be on Twitter and we hear niggas say, you got to use your white privilege to talk shit to other white people. You got to set them white people straight. Use your white privilege to do all that shit. That's what he did. He walked up to that nigga and he said, look, you tripping. The campaign's over. I knew the bullshit you were trying to do, trying to get votes. It's over. You governor now. Now it's time to do the fucking right thing. Oh, you think you're big and bad? You got a short man's complex. You just mad because you 5'7" and you can't see over the fucking urinal. So you want to take your you want to take your anger out on everybody in this prison. And I see that shit. And I ain't here for it.
Yo, that would be cool.
McManus.
That would be cool if he was saying it for anybody other than himself. But the only time McManus even stands up and says anything is when somebody's fucking with Oz. And the only thing that he did when he did this was, quite honestly, fuck over the warden. Like, in the very next scene, they show the warden storming in there to talk to McManus after that part, because McManus, instead of just letting it go with that one little conversation, McManus went full on McNulty on the motherfucking warden.
I just got a call from the governor. We got a call from your friend, Senator Schreiner, complaining about his interference in Oz.
Leo, somebody's got to stop this fucking little Napoleon. Kate Schreiner's got the balls to do it.
Devlin is bringing in the FBI to investigate the murders.
So what? Maybe they'll do a better job than Barano had.
Hey, this is my prison! I don't want the feds running around winking my inmates, faxing me memorandums. And the last thing I want, the last thing I need is for you taking shit like this on yourself. This is your fault, McManus. And I won't forget that.
Yo, so here's what he did, Brandon. Let's really lay this out. What he did was he put himself above and in front of the warden when he should have known his fucking place. What he did was go above everybody's head to the senator and make things 10 times worse when he should have known his fucking place. McManus wasn't worried about the warden. McManus wasn't worried about Oz. McManus is worried about himself. And because the governor blew smoke in his face, all of a sudden McManus has an issue. Fuck McManus. Nigga straight selfish.
Sometimes you got to do that when you're doing the right thing. You heard what the warden said.
After standing,
you heard what
there.
He said. He didn't want nothing good to happen. He literally said it. I don't want the FBI coming in here listening to the prisoners. I don't want paperwork done on all the fucked up shit happening in my prison.
Dude, do you know what happens when the federales come into a prison?
They straighten that shit up.
Does the warden want the federales coming to the prison? Honestly, let's not talk about, we're not talking about prisoner rights.
No, because he wants that shit to be terrible. Fuck the warden. He did the right thing. What? Hey, the FBI agents, what were they doing? They were trying to find out who the bad cops were. This nigga's the warden for how long and got all these fucking cops killing niggas, setting niggas up. He don't do shit about it. The FBI come in there one day.
The last episode,
already on it.
The last episode where they were having that conversation about like who fucking let him in the cell to fucking do this shit. And he looks, you know, and then they both, the leader of the cops and McManus, they both blaming each other, and he doesn't do a fucking thing. It's like, yo, none of this shit can happen if the cops didn't fucking let someone in to do the fucked up shit that they did. Like, and like the warden is trying to be, okay, on this issue and this issue alone, I'm Team McManus. Like, I can't. the fact that, like, yo, none of this shit would have happened if the cops didn't let motherfuckers into jail cells they weren't supposed to be in to do fucked up shit.
And it's so obvious. The FBI was there one day and they figured that shit out. You trying to tell me
they were
in
there for one day and figured out that McManus was a fucking suspect?
You trying to tell me the warden couldn't figure that shit out? No.
You're telling me the McManus. But look, McManus ain't. Nah, fuck McManus.
See? You anti McManus. I see what you are.
I'm very anti McManus. McManus, if he was played by a different person in this day and age, McManus would be played by Drake.
Yeah, I see how you are. You want to lock niggas up, throw away the key, no conjugal visits, make them have to eat slop and baby food all day. and get stuck in solitary. I see how you are.
Yeah, go ahead and stay on Team McManus. I'm enjoying this, and I want to see this keep going forward. So
I can always get off with somebody who gives me a reason to. So, I'm not knee-jerk.
So Alvarez's baby was born. He had a baby boy. Alvarez came back bragging about the baby to everybody and showing pictures and stuff. I just want to stop right there and say Kirk Acevedo. Y'all said he was in what, Lost?
Ricardo Diaz.
And Arrow. He was in Arrow. Yeah.
Yes.
He is a tremendous, tremendous actor. Like, yo, straight up wild, tremendous actor. And the scene that he had with him and Father Ray was just heartbreaking. There's really no other way to put it, but it was to see him so lost and reaching for God to help him out, because his baby was born with a bad liver. So to see him going through these steps was both terrific acting.
Before you play this scene, can y'all explain to me, because I always miss these things. Like, I watch them, but I don't fully get them. So they showed the flashback of how he got into prison right before this scene. And I was so confused. Did the nigga bump into his car and then he just lost it?
He came too close to his car and scratched that shit up. And he lost it and beat his ass. But why Maritza jumped in and started beating his ass too, the world may never know. You don't need two people to jump on a 75-year-old man to beat the shit out of him. And then you ain't got to cut that nigga up either. You ain't got to do that. You ain't got to go extra credit. So that's why he went to jail. Or
bash his car in. It's good. He bashed that shit.
So that nigga went to jail for 15 years for criminal mischief and assault with a deadly weapon. Alvarez is up for parole in 2 years. And then the baby's born and this happened.
Mother, ever since the baby was born, you know, I've been bragging to all the other guys about him, about how beautiful he is and shit like that. I mean, you really gotta admit, I mean, he's the most beautiful baby in the world. So now I'm thinking that like maybe I went a little overboard. Because Maritza called me this morning talking about that the baby got a bad liver and he's still in the hospital. And they think that he's gonna die. So now I'm thinking that maybe God heard me bragging so much and he decided to, you know, punish me.
Oh, Miguel. God doesn't work that way.
I mean, growing up, you know, I knew I was the best looking in my hood. You know, I told everybody. You know, I was the best athlete. I was the best lover. You know, even my fucking car. So now I'm thinking that, you know, God's pissed off. I'm wondering if you could talk to God for me and tell him that if he saves my baby, you know, I'll stop being such a big man. Could you do that for me, Father?
I will. But you gotta pray to God too, you know? And don't negotiate. You gotta stop bragging for your own good.
I know that. But if my baby dies, you know, I don't know what I'm gonna do. I mean, it's like I'll die.
Miguel. You should pray to God for your son's health, but you should also ask God to give you and Maritza the strength to face whatever happens.
Maritza says that the doctor says that all this is going on because of the drugs that we did before she was pregnant, you know, and after she was pregnant, you know, people were fucking telling us, you know, not to, you know, and Maritza didn't want to, you know, and I thought nothing bad was gonna fucking happen to me. Me. Pray for me. Pray for my baby.
I will. Repeat after me. Oh my God, I am heartily sorry for having offended thee, and I detest all my sins.
Nah, that ain't enough. That ain't enough. I mean, God wants a piece of my fucking ass.
Also want to give a shout out to BD Wong for
the queen, his, yo. Shout out to the queen.
Like, his role in that was just also spectacular.
BD Wong is so great. He's so great in everything. SVU, Mr. Robot.
Mr. Robot. That's why I call him the queen.
Yeah, but, Mr. Robot. Yeah.
He is fantastic at Mr. Robot.
Yes.
He's fantastic in this quietly. Like, the folks, there's a lot of people in Oz who don't get huge moments in the sun. But every time they step up to the plate, they're either advancing the ball or they are hitting a home run and there's no in between. And he's one of those type people. And it's just superb. And so Alvarez goes back to his cell and he's still thinking, I got to bargain with God. And so he thinks that he needs to give up what he thinks God feels matters most to himself, which is his good looks. So he stabbed himself in the hand and he cut himself on the face.
Yeah, he gives himself the dude from Gladiator.
And so while he's doing that, Pastor Ray is doing communion and Grove shows up in mass to get communion. And to see the look on Father Ray's face when he had to put his hand near Grove's mouth.
He did the Dane Cook thing, you know, that Dane Cook joke where he goes to receive his communion. Basically,
just put it in my mouth. And the show closes out with Jefferson in solitary confinement praying to Allah. So, again, to go back, fuck McManus. I just want to make sure that y'all know that.
I can't roll with you this episode. I'm with you normally.
You know what? The thing is about McManus, and yes, I'm circling back to this shit. What McManus did was noble for him, but it literally only fired the governor up. Because as you can see from Jump Street, the governor's a dick. So why is McManus going to make shit worse?
You got to do that sometimes, man. Sometimes you got to speak truth to power. That's what we always want people to do. You can't sit back and rest on your laurels. Like, you gotta speak up. If nobody speaks up, then you get mad at people for not doing that. You had a chance to talk directly to the government. You ain't say shit. How am I supposed to believe you? Like, you gotta put your money where your mouth is. If he fucks up later in the show, we'll say he fucked up. But this time, he was 100% right. 100% right in that scene. And the warden wasn't right. He was just trying to keep the status quo. And the status quo is what fucks shit up even worse sometimes. Is looking out for your own back, looking out for your own good. Like, I get it. You want a job. But hey, man, how much shit you gonna let somebody fuck up your job before you take a stand, right? Before you be like, hey man, like, this is too much. Are you just gonna let the governor do whatever the fuck you want? All right, my next thing is all the niggas in prison. They got to be in solitary. Well, you know, the governor wants that. So, you know, I'm not trying to have the federalities in here. So I'm just going to say yes. Like, no, like at some point you got to put your foot down and be like, nah, this is not how it is. And McManus was like, fuck, you know, if they fight, basically he knew he don't have no power. So he's basically like, if you fucking fire me, then you fucking fire me. But if I'm going to get fired, I'm going to get fired, at least speaking my mind. And then at least I can go out with some type of dignity. I'm not going to go out like no bitch.
But McManus is, that's the problem. Like, McManus is such a fuck. Oh my god. I can't wait till next week. I can't wait till we cycle this.
You are judging a man for other shit.
I'm judging him on the whole three episodes we've seen of him. This nigga is petty. He is petulant. He is just a insignificant little man. And this is the same thing. Like, listeners, please, please hit us up on Return to Oswald on Twitter and let us know, like, is McManus right for what he did against the governor? Is he standing up for the little people, or is he standing up for himself? I feel like he's standing up for himself and he's like, fuck it, I'll go scorched earth if I have to, but you're not going to touch my shit. And him going to the senator, that is above and beyond. That is the kind of shit that'll get you fired. Like, real talk.
That's the point. That's the point. Sometimes you got to do some shit. You can't just sit back and be like, you know, I got to make sure my job's okay. Like even everything you say,
we see this the very thing that we're talking about. We see that in the very next episode.
But the thing that I'm talking about is this: this motherfucker doesn't care until it matters when it affects him. He doesn't care any other time.
That's true. But listen, you got to have some type of ego to make a change or something, right? Nobody who makes changes in the world don't have a fucking ego about themselves, right? So like the whole idea of Oz, at least from my perspective watching the show, is a progressive idea, especially for 1997. Like in 1997, the idea of like, all right, we're going to put these people, all these different types of people in this section, right? And we're going to give them a little bit more freedom than the other prisoners have. And we're going to try these different experiences on them to see how they react. And then, because I believe that this is the way that we should treat rehabilitation in the criminal justice system. And then to see that shit get stripped away day by day by a fucking asshole right-wing governor, who you know the shit that he's doing is only going to make shit worse and worse and worse and worse. And you seem to be the only person in that whole fucking building fighting for this shit. To be like, yo, I know this. McManus is basically like, if everybody got on board with this shit and then it failed, fine. But y'all niggas are not getting on board. Y'all got dirty cops letting people get killed. You got the warden who the only thing he cares about is keeping the status quo and making the governor happy. The governor wants to be right-wing, tough on crime, law and order, motherfucker. And the inmates don't trust none of them niggas because they think McManus don't have no fucking power and it's not going to work. And so, yeah, he got an ego, but you got to have an ego.
Here's the thing. Here's the last thing I'm going to say about it. In The Wizard of Oz and in The Wiz, the wizard, the actual wizard, is a tiny little man who's egotistical as fuck and gets very full of himself and on a power trip. McManus is literally the Wizard of Oz.
He may be, but he's not dead yet. See, you're jumping ahead. I'm
judging him on three episodes.
Now, if he turns out to be the biggest asshole in the world, then he'll be the asshole. I happen to believe people can go from being good to bad and bad to good. So he can go from being a decent person to being a piece of shit that I want to see killed. And then depending on how piece of a shit he is, he could redeem himself. But it depends. There's always a line that you can cross where I'm just like, fuck you forever.
Yeah,
but
for sure.
As long as you don't cross that line, then you can be redeemed.
So what do you think is going to happen in the next episode, Brandon?
So next episode, I think the FBI is going to keep investigating shit. And they're gonna uncover some things that's going on in the prison. About what's going wrong. They're going to try to, I think the warden is not going to like what they find. He's going to have to make some changes. I think at the end, the FBI agent thinks McManus is a suspect. So he's going to try to start defending himself. He's going to start trying to defend himself. I think that Leon is going to be stuck in solitary for a while, so maybe we won't see him for a little bit because it wouldn't make sense for him to be out after just killing a nigga. And I think the dude that I fucking hate, the rat nigga, what's his name?
O'Reilly. Randall? Yeah.
I think O'Reilly is going to play. I think the first season is O'Reilly thinking he's the king master, the king chess player, but he's fucking up.
That's the series. That's not episodes. That's the series. He's a master snake.
But I think every single episode that passes is going to start to catch up to him.
Yeah.
That's me.
So the next episode is called Capital P. And looking forward to talking about it. It's a big episode. Scar, anything that you're currently doing that you want to talk about?
I'm selling all these wax melts, bro. Like, and this thing is moving. While we were recording, I just got a big, big order that I got to get a bigger box for this. Like, that's, somebody I don't know.
What is it? I want to buy some.
I'll get you the link.
The link is ptcachandcrafting.com.
Handcrafted.com.
You should buy both of those, though, just in case. Fucker. But this nigga's banging on wax.
Yeah. So that's working out very well for me. I'm really surprised because I knew that I had something, I knew that I had something with this, but I didn't realize that I really had something until people started buying in and talking about it. I'm surprised. I'm pleasantly surprised how it's gone and how it's going. And I got new scents coming. Like I got bottles of oil right here that I haven't even I got bottles of oil right here for some new shit. I went out and I did a man thing. Now I'm not handy at all. I'm not handy. So I went out and I converted myself a Presto pot, and I put a spigot in it. You know, I had to drill a hole and use, you know, file it and use some putty, all kinds of shit. So, but yeah, go to the website, ptcachandcrafted.com. And yeah, and Adebisi was great as Mr. Echo. I forgot to say that on Lost.
Brandon?
I don't got shit.
Negro, please. Congratulations, fam.
I don't got shit. So I do have one thing. Go to the website, hindsightmoviereviews.com. Check it out. That's it. That's all I got.
I want to say congratulations to Brandon for getting his dreams in order and taking that next big step. Niggas is proud of you, fam. Don't go driving drunk down the street and run over a little girl and end up with the Black Schillinger in prison.
Not me.
He would end up with a Schillinger Saeed.
He'd end up with a Saeed like this.
Oh, we did it. We're check out our other websites. Check out our other podcasts, Hindsight Movie Reviews. Check out Why So Serious Podcast. If you get a chance, check out Single Simulcast. Derek, I don't mean to talk over him, but he just dropped an episode. So make sure you go check that out. Yeah, that's it. I don't really got a lot of shit. I like this show. Oh, no, I do have one thing. I know this is supposed to be evergreen content for y'all listeners, so y'all know you can listen to it anytime, but I do have to say something that's not so evergreen. We did another show on one of our other podcasts, and Derek Rashani finally did something good with his ideas. He finally came up with a good idea. And so and it's not really that good because it's not fair. And the guest that we had at the time agreed with me on this, by the way. So he pledged, and we listeners, I need you to hold him to this. He pledged that for every episode of Oz that I watch,
oh shit,
he will watch an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm. That's Ooh. Right. And so I have to watch the show where people get branded swastikas on their ass and gets killed and get their neck snacked and get raped in jail and have asshole governors and all types of bad shit. And he gets to watch Palestinian Chicken and Crazy Eyes Killing all the greatness of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
I forgot I said that shit.
I listened to a episode of the Fat Joe's podcast. He have Vanessa Williams on. And I don't know Curb like that, but apparently Crazy Eye Killer is her brother.
Yeah, Chris Williams. He was just in whatever movie we just watched.
Friday After Next. I forgot I said that shit, and I am so mad at myself. But okay, I will watch an episode today. I'll actually watch three episodes to get me caught up with where we are on this show.
Can't be me, bro. Good luck.
If you want to skip season one, you can. You don't have to watch season one. It's kind of episodic, but it's not really episodic. You can
start with season two. Well, the shit makes sense if I skip past that whole stupid ass season, because that shit is so boring.
Season one just introduces you to the characters, but it's not like they do some callbacks to that, but it's not that important. You can start with season two.
Okay, cool.
I think Shaq's on season two, by the way, which is great.
Okay. I'm gonna make Nisha watch it too.
You get to the greatest episode of all time, Palestinian Chicken. I remember I told Stephanie this, by the way. I don't mean to keep going on, but this is funny. I told Stephanie this. We finally got her to watch it, and she said the same exact thing Rashani said. She's like, season one's kind of boring. I don't know. This is kind of slow. I said, just push through. And she got through season one. And then midway through season two, season three, she texted me. She's like, this is one of the funniest shit I've ever seen. And I said, wait till you get to Palestinian Chicken. It's the greatest episode of television ever made. She watched that episode and I probably got like 15 text messages because it's the greatest thing of all time. So you're welcome, because I care about you, right? I want you to enjoy things when you watch stuff. I want you to smile. You too, Scar. I want you guys to smile.
I'm good.
I want y'all and to see.
I ain't got HBO, so I'm.
I want y'all to see a man who wants to go to a Dodgers game so bad that the traffic's bad. So instead of riding in traffic, what he decides to do is pull over and pick up a sex worker so he can ride in the carpool lane so he can make it to the baseball game on time. That's the type of stuff that happens in this show.
You know. Okay. I'm gonna watch it. I'm gonna watch it.
You're welcome.
So. Follow us on Twitter, Return to Oswald. Check out the website, hindsightmoviereviews.com. If you are still on the lookout for something festive for your family for this Christmas, go to ptcachandcrafted.com and get some nice candle waxes or wax melts. Make a great Christmas present, a great stocking stuffer. And
candles coming soon. Actual candles coming soon.
Candles are coming soon. Scar can hook you up. Yeah. Thank y'all so much for checking us out. We greatly appreciate y'all. On behalf of Scar and Brandon, I'm Derek, and y'all be good. Peace.
Peace.
Simulcast. Don't know by now that you slipped.